Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All right, welcome back here in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Missouri Tigers' third win in a row. Very impressive. I thought this team was in a free fall. They are not. And great credit to Konzo Martin and his staff for getting things going in the right direction after what was just the worst performance I've ever seen in the last 15 minutes against Auburn. Joining us now on the line, the man who covers the Missouri Tiger beat for the Kansas City Star, Alex Schiffer, is with us. Alex, how are you?
I'm great. You know, the last time I talked to you, I was starving at a Chipotle. I'm out of Panera now, and I ate before my appearance on the show.
I am proud of that? You. I am proud of you. You know what that means? That means you're adaptable. You understand what it takes to get the job done and be ready to go. That is impressive. It's worthy.
I try, man.
It's worthy of a man who would carry the Twitter handle of the Shift Man.
Thank you. Mizzou Twitter wasn't very happy with me last night. That wasn't a Twitter handle I would have wanted. People would have wanted you to be talking about last night.
So tell me, what is the what's going on with their Twitter handle, first of all?
Yeah, so this morning, the spokesperson told me today that they woke up to kind of find out that they were temporarily suspended as an account because it appears that Twitter's trying to crack down more, or just the music industry is trying to crack down more on tweets that have copyrighted music in them being used without the owner's permission. And Missouri had a number of early strikes on it from earlier in the year, and it didn't appear until recently. And then by the time they found out the whole thing was how many strikes you get and just how the calendar works, they woke up to find out that they were out of time to complain. And they sent a quick email out and got it taken care of pretty quickly. But that's happening nationwide. Georgia, UCF, Texas, a lot of accounts have gotten suspended over it.
All right, so something like they obviously have the government philosophy going after the worst first. So the bigger followers are the ones that need to worry more than a guy who's got 268 followers being sweated over playing some tunes. But so this is about like rights to content, basically music and video.
Yes, it appears so.
Okay, when will they get it back up?
Oh, Missouri's was up this morning. Okay. I can't speak for the other programs, but it was a less than an hour type of deal, the way it seemed like, with how quickly they got it taken care of. So it was interesting news to wake up to, but it seemed to kind of take care of itself pretty quickly.
Yeah, all right. Real quick, how much excitement is there on the football side about signing day?
I think there's some. I think it's a little mum because, obviously, there was the Tiger 10, the 10 big-time recruits in the state of Missouri for this class. And Missouri went 1-for-10 with Daniel Parker out of Blue Springs in your neck of the woods being the only one they signed. Michael Thompson committed today, chose Oklahoma over Missouri in his top two. And I think it was a little glum just because this was Missouri's year to kind of really seal the borders and really build a foundation for Odom's program off of in-state guys. And didn't really go that way.
I know Thompson was expected to go to Oklahoma, but as a Missouri fan, I find myself still disappointed. You get a top-shelf St. Louis, Missouri kid. I mean, that's right. How you got to get that guy, those guys, don't you, to get back to get a foothold in the SEC?
Yeah, you know, Ronnie Perkins, whose brother Rennell is a safety from Missouri, his brother Ronnie committed to Oklahoma. He was part of that Tiger 10. And really, Missouri was Thompson was Missouri's to lose for the longest time. And then Ronnie Perkins goes to Oklahoma and rolls early and gets Oklahoma on Thompson's radar and kind of took it from there. So it stinks because Thompson was the guy that, from the beginning, they had the best shot with throughout, and they didn't even get him. It just kind of shows just how tough it was for them this cycle.
Got a theory on why it was? Too much time spent in Texas, not enough time spent in their own backyard, or is it just a unique class?
I think two things. You know, the 1-5 start killed them with a lot of recruits, first off. And while the turnaround was incredibly impressive, you know, these are teenagers we're talking about. You know, I think the first impression of the season was the one that they just couldn't get back. And secondly, you know, when they had this whole idea of the Tiger 10 and they brought all 10 of them to campus in April and sold them on being remembered forever as this class that represented the state, you know, they were kind of hoping for one or two guys to jump on board early and kind of recruit the rest to join them. And that didn't happen. And you couple that with the 1-5 start, they kind of just had this hole with these guys that just could never dig themselves out of. So I don't think it was for lack of effort at all. I just think it was they did what they should have, which was sell them as a unit together. And when they couldn't get one to be the Pied Piper early on, they weren't going to get one with the 1-5 start. And it was a tough situation to really get out of from there.
Did they is there any feeling that what? Is it the guys out on the front line that aren't drawing them in, or is it that Coach Odom can't close, or no, just the uncertainty of the season?
I think it's just a proving thing. You know, I think if Missouri started the season, you know, 4-1 or whatever, I think it would have sold a lot of people on Odom being the guy and his future with the program long-term being secured. And, you know, again, it was a tough start, and I think that was a big turnoff for some of those kids. And, you know, the bottom line is that these were kids that were recruited out of St. Louis, that schools that don't come to St. Louis very often were there, you know, Georgia, Alabama, the Blue Bloods. And when you have the school 2 hours away in a hole and, you know, all these Blue Bloods with all the nice bells and whistles in the AP rankings and the playoff rankings, it's tough not to give them attention.
We're talking to Alex Schiffer, handles the Tiger beat for the Kansas City Star. All right, let's talk about the basketball program. More of the details will be coming on the football side of things as we go. How surprised are you? And I'll give you some credit. I asked you, I think, a week or so ago as to whether or not the Tigers would make the tournament. I was really feeling like they'd kind of lost their mojo, lost their way, and they were in a tailspin that was going to be really hard to come out of. And you said at that time, you thought they'd be in the tournament, so I don't think you're as surprised as I am at the job Konzo Martin's getting things turned in the right direction. But how difficult has it been to get them going in the right direction?
It's amazing how quickly a week can change people's minds. You know, they have the 3-game losing streak. They, you know, get out-toughed at A&M, and the next 2 games don't go much better. They get I don't want to say blown out by Auburn, because Auburn just kind of extended their lead towards the end of the game. But after the Auburn game, a lot of people were saying that they don't look like a tournament team and that it's going to be a tough road ahead of the tournament. Then they knock off Alabama and Kentucky, and all of a sudden they're back in the picture. So I think Conley's done a great job. I think that this offense is the way it is right now. Just when they're hitting threes and they're hitting shots, they can beat absolutely anybody. When they're not, they don't have someone like a Michael Porter that can carry the offense when no one is scoring, and it just makes it very tough for them to chip away at these deficits to get themselves in. So, again, when the shots are falling, they can hang with anybody.
Are you as shocked as me that they've won these 3 games and still, you know, if you just said, okay, they're going to win the next 3, I said, okay, then the point guard thing gets worked out. It doesn't seem any closer to being worked out than it was 3 games ago.
Yeah, you know, at Alabama, I mean, obviously Alabama's not Duke's Arena where it's a tough place to play historically, but it is a road game, and they have Colin Sexton, who's an NBA lottery pick, and it's just a ridiculous score. I thought they had a chance in that game going in. I didn't think they'd actually pull it out. The Kentucky one is the one that I think is the most impressive, because even though it's a big down year for Kentucky, it is Kentucky. Norm Stewart couldn't beat him in the times he played them. Quinn Snyder, the young coach he was in Missouri, couldn't beat them. They were 0-10 coming in, and they beat him without Michael Porter. That's pretty impressive. So that's the game that surprises me the most. Ole Miss, again, not a tough place to play historically. They don't have the post play that Missouri does. So that one didn't surprise me as much either. I think if they can get Mississippi State back on Saturday, that would be a huge momentum boost for them, especially going into next week.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Ole Miss is not great, but, you know, again, they just When was the last time you'd say, boy, they were firing on all cylinders with the Tigers? I mean, I think that's one of the things that I'm kind of the most impressed about, because either Tillman's in foul trouble, Barnett. I mean, you know, Barnett had zero field goals made. Tillman had one field goal made. Van Leer had one field goal made. I mean, they do it, and it never looks the way you think it should look.
Yes. Yes, the last time they were firing on all cylinders. I tell you, the program, the last time they were firing on all cylinders like this was December 2013 after they beat UCLA and were ranked in the low 20s for that part of the season with Jordan Clarkson, Jabari Brown, and Ernest Ross. But earlier in the season, they looked pretty good despite the Utah loss. It's been interesting. You kind of just touched on the main things. You know, Tillman, he played a lot last night in the first half, but he didn't really do anything. You know, he's 6'11". He had like one rebound. I mean, I feel like I should be able to get at least a couple rebounds just being that height in a college game. So, you know, it's always a multi-step process with Tillman. First, you got to have him out of foul trouble and have him in the game. Then you got to have him active, and you got to be feeding him the right way so he doesn't maybe try and draw contact that would get him an offensive foul. And Barnett, as you said, has just been a weird deal. It's like when he's hot, he's like a light switch. When he's hot and he's on, he can give you five threes and over 20 points a game. And when he's off, you really don't know what you're going to get.
Jonte Porter, 18 points, 13 boards, and 5 blocks. I mean, is coming off the bench just where he's more comfortable? I mean, I definitely like how Poirier has been willing to move back and forth, and he's kind of the glue guy that makes it work with both those guys. But what do you make of Porter going back to the bench and that seemingly working? Why does that work better?
I think it's the right fit for him. He said something to me very interesting after the Alabama game. He said, you know, a lot of times this season, I haven't really known what my role was. You know, should I be the guy that tries to go off and score a lot? Do I just try to be as a role player and be the sidekick to who's ever got the hot hand? He says, you know, there's been a lot of games I didn't really know which one I should do. And, you know, Cassius Robertson is just on such a hot streak right now. I think Jonte's kind of figured out that he's the guy we roll with, and he's the first option, and I'll try and do whatever I can off of that. And I think if he could do that every night, he's a green room inviter, do something like that. I mean, he's such a dangerous weapon. He can hit shots from all over the floor. He's a spectacular passer. He's got a great handle for a guy his size. I think he's better off the bench right now because he's young. He's still 18. It gives him time to get a feel for how the game's being called. And it just seems to be what he does best is being this reserve.
Did you hear, I don't know, because you were at the game, if you would have heard this, but did you hear that Konzo Martin apparently told him, you know, he needs to shoot more?
Yeah, you know, Konzo was always said throughout the year, just with guys in general. You know, if you got a good shot, take it. He doesn't seem to be a guy that stops guys, you know, that kind of puts his hand on the trigger for players and tells them to stop shooting. I think it's a very basic deal with Konzo. Just if you're getting good looks, don't be afraid, you know, let it run and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I give Konzo Martin all kinds of credit because this has not been the season the way it's supposed to look. And I'm curious, we thought Michael Porter Jr. was going to be here. They've had to work without him. And last night, this is a little bit concerning to me. It's great news that Michael Porter Jr. is beginning to work out. It's great to think about him coming back and be a part of this team. If he indeed does end up coming back to be a part of this team, and if they can stay focused and do the work that they need to do to make that even relevant. And, you know, a lot of people are speculating, hey, the reason this is coming out is because they've won 3 in a row. Like, that wouldn't even have been an option. If they were losing and not going to make the tournament, then he wasn't going to come back and risk it. But now they're winning, so now let's try to get it going and get him out there. Do you worry about the team saying, hey, we're okay because the cavalry's coming? I mean, I think playing scared is a little bit of what's gotten them to this point.
I agree. You know, that I joked about my Twitter handle earlier. That's what was getting me in trouble last night, was I was saying, you know, I want to ask Konzo Martin tomorrow, assuming we get him for media day, if Mike can't come back with X amount of games left, are you just going to shut it down and say it's not worth it, worry about the NBA draft? Because for this team to make a deep run in March, you can't be going to Michael Porter Jr. in the first round of the NCAA tournament, hey, come on back. You know, these guys haven't played in a game with you really all season since the Kansas game, and we'll see how we can adjust in game. You know, I think if he were to come back towards the end of the regular season and they get acclimated with him in game situations and going into the postseason, they can go as far as he'll carry them. not making a joke because of the back either. But I think for chemistry purposes, they're at their best bringing him in towards the end of the regular season. I can't see Konzo going with this lineup he has all year without Mike, and then just bringing Mike in to the first game of the postseason and expecting it to work. I think Konzo's too smart for that, and I also don't think it's a great situation for Mike because you're kind of putting him in a situation where it's a fail, where you put him in this winner-go-home situation his first game back. He's not going to be, you know, he's not going to roll out of bed and look like he was a before he got hurt. It's going to take some time.
So how far, that you know, they're listed as a 10 seed in Monday's bracketology. I mean, how high do you think they can climb?
I think they can get to a 5.
And realistically going what in the SEC?
If you look at the rest of the schedule, the only game that I think they can't win or would be underdogs is at Rupp Arena, because that is a tough place to play. And even though it is a down year for Kentucky, it's still Kentucky in their home arena. That would be an unbelievable win if they could get that. But at Vanderbilt, they're down this year. At LSU, it's a little bit of a tricky place to play, but they're down this year. Will Wade's still building a program up since taking the job. Mississippi State and A&M at home. Arkansas at home. A&M and Arkansas aren't very good road teams this year. You know, you look at the rest of the schedule, the remaining 8 games. You get Ole Miss back at home after beating them at their place last night. You look at the remaining 8 games, there's 7 that I say they can definitely win. You bring Mike back into the fold if he can return before they're at Kentucky. I think that's a game they can take as well. So that would give them, what, 22 wins, I want to say, or something like that, 23. Get some games in the SEC tournament. They can get pretty high.
Do they, you know, you mentioned the lineup and Konzo not wanting, you know, to make a change as you go into the postseason, that it needs to happen at the end of the regular season. But that's all that lineup's been, is change. You know, early on, Robertson was the point, and then they decided they were going to go, and Harris was in there, and it was Geist, and now it's Geist, and it's Van Leer bouncing back and forth, and Tillman is in with Perrier, and then you know, Jonte Porter's in there. I mean, they've known nothing but change. 99% of the time, I agree with your original statement, but is this maybe the one team that could get jerked around lineup-wise, and because there hadn't been any continuity ever? You know, they could actually survive it and perhaps even thrive?
I think you make a good point. You know, a lot of people have said to me that their depth, because they only have 8, 9 available guys, you know, if they were a deeper team, this might be a different conversation. They, you know, they've rolled with pretty much the same, pretty much the entire year. It's been the same amount of guys you can rely on. Cassius, Barnett, Jonte, Perrier, and Tillman if he's out of foul trouble. So I guess it's a good point, because they've only had so many guys they can consistently rely on every game. You know, adding one like Mike, you know, why would you say no? Again, I just think for Missouri to go to still potentially have everything on the table that was talked about before the season with Mike, it would make sense to get all that stuff taken care of while you have games to, you can afford to lose in the regular season. I don't want to say afford to lose, because it's still on a lock for the tournament as of right now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do. And I just think that I still don't get how it all comes together for this team. Again, I got nothing but love for Konzo Martin and what he's done, because I'm still trying to figure out why it's working. And even when you look at it, you watch the game and you're like, okay, yeah, they're out in front and they keep finding a way to score another bucket, and they are defending. I thought their defense was better. But it's still difficult to try to look at it and say, okay, this is the chemistry thing that clicks. So, and I think that's a credit to Konzo Martin. You mentioned the Mississippi State game. Last subject, do they get the win against Mississippi State?
I think they do. Real quick, because you talked about Konzo. Bruce Pearl might win SEC Coach of the Year, but also with the FBI stuff and his history, I wonder if it would get detracted. Konzo Martin making the tournament without the number one pick in the draft on his team, and, you know, the remains of Kim Anderson's tenure, I think he has a spectacular case for Conference Coach of the Year.
I will not argue that point. I would offer up that you're forgetting one very notable contender for that, and what I would say is perhaps even the front runner.
Front runner.
That might not be fair. Bruce Pearl would seemingly be the front runner, but I'm with you. I think the FBI investigation is going to draw people away. And I'm fine with listening with Konzo Martin, but who else would be up there as a top contender? I just Just quick off the top of your head, and we'll see if we're in the same ballpark.
It's tough. You know, I don't know about Howland with Mississippi State just because they've been good, but he didn't have the best. He's recruited well, but I think Pearl has the best case, especially losing some of those guys to the FBI thing. I just wonder if his history will come back to bite him in that.
How about the name Rick Barnes?
That was who I couldn't think of. I think he has an excellent case as well, but Tennessee has been in better shape the past few years than Missouri. I think that I've used turnaround a lot. I sound like Barry Odom. But what Townsend Martin has done in the short amount of time without Mike might carry more weight than what Rick Barnes in his second year. Conzo's in his first, so that might carry some weight. But if Conzo weren't to get it and it were to go to Barnes or Pearl, I would understand it completely.
Yeah. Alex Schiffer doing his Barry Odom impression here for us in the program. I appreciate that. It's always good when it's impression day. Time for our Kansas Lottery Final Four for quickies. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Callers 8 and 10 win $30 next Family Games instant tickets from the Kansas Lottery. Get excited in February. Receive 4X the points. That's four times the points all month long. Every time you submit an X Games multiplier super ticket into your play on account. For more information, visit kslottery.com. Start you with this one. We found out what the shift man is at Chipotle last week. Is there a shift man patented order at the Panera we should know about this week?
Yes, I go with a pit two black bean soup, which is probably really cold by now since I've been talking to you, and a steak and arugula sandwich, bread on the side, and I go with a pound cake for dessert.
Are you not capable of getting there, ordering, and eating before you go on with us?
I had the sandwich and the bread. I took the L with the soup.
That's fantastic.
All right, Michael.
Michael
Porter Jr. goes where in the draft?
I'm going to say third. He comes back, plays his way up to number three.
Number three. Okay, I'll put you down for that. Longer at their current job, John Calipari or Conzo Martin?
Ooh. Conzo's younger. I'm going to go with him.
Okay. And finally, you mentioned the last eight games here for the Missouri Tigers. How many of them do they win? Right? Is it eight or is it two, four, six, seven? Last seven games, how many do they win?
I'm going to say six. They lose at Kentucky, and they'll find one more in there somewhere.
Okay. We'll take it. We'll let you get to the chilling soup, and we'll speak to you again. I appreciate it, buddy.
The soup's still warm. Always a pleasure, man.
Follow him at the Shift Man, Alex Schiffer. I love it. I knew something was going on. I knew he wouldn't just leave us hanging. I knew if I waited it, there was something going on, and he was checking on the soup. So kudos to the folks at Panera for giving him a piping hot bowl of soup so that he could finish with a hot, hot meal.
Yeah. It wasn't served like revenge. It was not served cold.
No, but that's pretty cool. We'll have to see where the shift man is next week when we talk Missouri with him.
Lunch with the shift man.
You have to appreciate the dryness of the humor. What was your favorite line? My favorite line was the Barry Odom line. Like, it was so wry and dry and just slid right in there, you know? Critiquing his own use of the language. He's a great one. The shift man, Alex Schiffer, joining us here in the program talking Mizzou. We'll take a break. Come back and talk a little more college hoops with you. We do have a little time to take some calls if you'd like to chime in. If you had something you wanted to get off your chest, 913-3810-810. Take your phone calls right now. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB.